Morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ben. Yourself?
Yeah, very well. Now, Richmond players, baited by the public, get in a fight, and they're not sanctioned. Explain what's happened here to us.
Well, they were out celebrating one of their partner's birthday. An incident arise where one of the players was defending his partner. Someone clocked Rioli, and Shai Bolton jumped in to help out, and I think he's fractured his wrist, and he'd be out for a couple of weeks. And then obviously the story comes from, you know, people who go out and bait athletes, you know, because now you can film everything, and it seems a bit funny if you can put it up on social media. And they know that probably the biggest reaction or the biggest blowback is going to come towards, you know, the athlete. Or, you know, I'm not just saying AFL footballers. I'm sure it happens in league, union, basketball, whatever professional sport going on. It's not a new thing, but there's just some people out there who get a kick out of that sort of stuff.
Now, your Geelong Cats, what a performance it was against Richmond last week, beating the Tigers by 10 goals. What did you take out of that?
Well, it said more about Geelong than anything. Obviously, when you walk away from a game of footy, a lot of people tend to focus on the loser, but sometimes it can say more about the winner. And I think for the Cats, that was one of big mental hurdles. So everyone goes, oh, the Geelong Cats rivalry. There hasn't been a rivalry in recent times. When a side beats you 6 out of 7 and on average of 4 goals, they own you. That's not a rivalry. So it was a big mental hurdle for the Cats. Richmond were playing super footy after half time with 2 down. The Cats were absolutely awesome around the contest, and they've been doing what we've been screaming out for: play faster. When they play quick, they're the most dangerous side in the whole entire competition. They've got a serious amount of talent in their front half, and they've still got to add Dangerfield back to it. In recent years, everyone's going, play quicker, or why are you spending 3/4 of your salary cap in the front half if you're not going to use it? So that, I think that was a massive, call it a warning shot for the rest of the competition, that the Cats are actually right in the hunt.
Jimmy, where are Richmond at, mate? And I want to ask you, is it me, or do you just hear about Richmond off-field incidents more than any other AFL team because they're high profile? And how are they able to separate these incidents and then be still good on the field? And yet, at some stage, you would think if you continually have off-field incidents, then it's going to affect your performances at some stage.
Yeah, it's a good question. In a lot of parts, they're laws. The first bit is they're one of the biggest clubs in Australia. So you put them with Collingwood, Broncos, would you say the Panthers, yeah, and maybe the Roosters. Would they be probably the two biggest?
Yep.
Going in NRL, they're probably the 4 big ones. I know I'm going to leave one out. So, so whoever supporters, don't get offended because I've left you out. But I'm just making the point that the fact is, even if a player goes and eats a sandwich, it's going to make the back page of the news. And that's Richmond. They're part of that sort of grouping where they've got over 100,000 members. They've got a big tradition. So everything is going to get amplified. And this is why whenever an incident comes up, it doesn't just go one day news cycle. It goes a whole entire week. And then everyone overanalyzes, has an opinion, and they keep on winning. Now, the thing they've got at the moment in recent years is a very, very strong club that is just used to operating with all the outside noise and still being successful. Now, every year that they've won a premiership, they've sort of started the season slow anyway, and they've just really flexed their muscles at the right time of the year, which is a sign of a really strong club that's got a really good system in place.
Jimmy, what about the Giants, mate? Are they locked into the finals? They're playing a great brand of footy now as well.
Yeah, you're right, Clarkie. They're back to playing the footy that got them into the finals a couple of years ago. Yeah. They've got the good balance of the hard stuff, and then also the outside stuff as well. Hang on. One of my boys has just found a box of shapes as he's in early in the morning.
Let him go.
Had worse for Brecky.
So they've got a really good balance. It's just the issue for the Giants is injuries. Lockie Keith, I know he's not a big name player, but he's so keen to... No, you can't have the chippies this early in the morning. yeah, he's not a big-name player, but he's a key to the side. He's a 200-centimetre centre-half back, and he did his ACL in the last 30 seconds of the game. So it's just little things like that keep popping up for the Giants, but they're certainly playing the right brand of footy to play finals.
What about the Swans, mate? What did you make of their performance last week against the Ds? I mean, they're unbeaten Melbourne, but the Swans took it to them.
Yeah, they did, and I know we always slam coaches when they play poorly, but you got to tip your cap to John Longmire. I thought he coached his socks off. You think they were right in it for the last 2 minutes, and that wasn't the usual Buddy Franklin, obviously coming back from injuries. There are the young key forward, Toby McLean, who kicked four goals the week before. They didn't kick a goal, took a couple of marks and were shut out, and they were still in with a shot. Probably just missed their moments more than anything, so they still had an opportunity to win. Callum Mills kicked a goal. They have a couple more shots on goal and just missed them, and Melbourne's class jumped through in the end.
As a Geelong man, I'm sure you're not crying about this, but interesting to see three powerhouse Melbourne clubs, Essendon, Collingwood and Hawthorne, all 2-6, Jimmy. It's been a while since we've seen that.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? It's absolutely fantastic. All the heat on the big Melbourne club. They're a couple of teams, different reasons, are going through a bit of a transition at the moment. Essendon hit the draft pretty hard last year. Collingwood was sort of in that awkward position. It's the worst spot you can be in footy is if you're middling. So you don't know whether you're an actual top four side or you're starting to build to become a top four side again. So they've had a crack. They've played a grand final, prelim, you know, finals, and they thought, oh, we're only just about to go over the edge. And that's where it gets really dangerous, and it comes back pretty quickly. So, look, I don't think there'll be too many tears shed for Collingwood fans around Australia, but, yeah, they're in an interesting position, to say the least.
Now, Jimmy, talk me through this. You mentioned Collingwood. What's the blue between them and Port Adelaide over the jerseys? I mean, it's getting a little bit of traction up here in Sydney because of two high-profile people involved, you know, Eddie Maguire and David Koch having a pot at each other. What's the argument about?
Well, what it is like the AFL is a parent and he's put one lolly between two squabbling four-year-olds. That's what it's like at the moment. There's not too many people who really care and they're starting to think the argument's boring apart from Collingwood and Port Adelaide supporters. What it really is Port Adelaide is a very, very old and traditional powerhouse club out of the SANFL, and they were called the Port Adelaide Magpies. So they used to wear the black and white. They've got they call it the prison bar jumper, which looks similar but not the same as Collingwood.
Yep.
Collingwood said, well, you join the AFL. We've been in the AFL as the Collingwood Magpies. You can't wear that. Now, there was an agreement going around about, we'll let you wear it for a heritage round, Port Adelaide. Heritage round got thrown out. Then it's Koshy and Eddie just arguing about, well, you can't wear the Magpies colours, wow, 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 like this.
Right.
So it's just too little. What really should happen is the AFL should step in and just make a ruling or say for the next 10 years, yes or no, or you can wear it this time and stop the two little four-year-olds squabbling.
Well, we'll have all your selections up on our socials, Jibby, but we'll get a tip for you for the Sydney Collingwood game. Sydney $1.30, Collingwood $3.40 with Tab, and Richmond $1.52 against the Giants $2.50. How do you see them playing out?
Swans and Giants. The Swans have been very good. I think some of the young players have gone through their flat patch, and I think they'll come out the other side. Hopefully Buddy plays because he'll be an absolute handful. Collingwood have finally just settled Darcy Moore as a defender, not a forward. And the Giants, even though losing Lockie Keith, I think they're starting to find some really good footy and hopefully get the Tigers at the right time.
Go and get ahead of that daddy daycare, mate.
Oh, my goodness. He's already eaten breakfast and he's trying to punch a box of shakes.
Good stuff, mate. Have a good weekend.
Same, mate.